Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotes on the base, three lines from the bottom. Choylitz, Vecholtzel, Ishtay. The Mishnah taught us that if a Kohen Gadol's brother dies, the Kohen Gadol does Chalitza, but he doesn't do Yibam. If the Kohen Gadol dies without children, Rechman Slan, his wife either receives Chalitza or Yibam. Says the Gemara Kapasuk B'Tani, our Mishnah taught us a hard and fast rule. Loishna, it makes no difference. What was the situation with the brother's marriage to his wife? Whether the brother and his wife only had Erisin, Loishna and Nesuin, or the brother and his wife had Nesuin, the Kohen Gadol may not do Chalitza, he may only do Yibam. So ask the Gemara. Bishlam and Nesuin, we understand if the brother of the Kohen Gadol was married to his wife with Nesuin, we could understand why the Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibam. Because this woman, because she had consummated that marriage with her husband, so she's not a psula. And there's a mitzvah to say that a Kohen Gadol may only marry psula, as the Torah Kedoshah says, "Who isha b'psula yikach." And he has a loisa say to marry this woman of almana v'grush v'chalola zaynas ela la yikach. So even though there's an essay of Yibum, of Yivam Yavaleh, it doesn't have the essay, and throughout Shas we know that Allah is that essay doicha loisa say, that the Allah is ain essay doicha loisa say vasay. It doesn't have the ability to override both the loisa say vasay, and as we just explained, this is a situation where we have a loisa say and an essay. But ask the Gemara, if the Kohen's brother's marriage to his wife was only an erisin, so if there was only erisin, so then we have here a situation, if there was only erisin, so she's still a psula. So why don't we say that the essay of Yavama Yavaleha should be doicha, should override the loisa say that he's not allowed to marry Almana. Amai, Yava essay v'yitcha loisa say. Answers the Gemara. Indeed, it ought to be that way. The first time he would have relations with her would be very much permissible. It would be permissible because the essay is doicha d'loisasei. But the second time that they're going to have relations, she's still an almana. And there it's not in the setting of Yibam. Since there it's not in the setting of Yibam, the halacha is, that's why he can't have the second beer, and because he can't have the second beer, we don't allow the first beer. So, of course, the obvious question is, why don't we say that in every situation of Yibam, that a brother-in-law who does Yibam with a sister-in-law, the first beer is mutter because it's the mitzvah of Yibam, but the second beer should revert back to being usur because she's a sister-in-law. So, explain the Rishonim. There's a difference between the Isser of Eishes Ach, the Isser of a sister-in-law, versus the Isser of Almona. When we speak about the Isser of Eishes Ach, the Torah says that when there's a mitzvah of Yibam, she's no longer an Eishes Ach. She's no longer considered a sister-in-law. Since she's no longer considered a sister-in-law, so then there's no problem, not just with the first beer, but all other beers are also permissible. But the woman who's an almana, yes, she's no longer an eishes ach. And yes, essay doicha leis essay allows him to do the first bia, but it doesn't take away the issa almana. So only in the case where there's a mitzvah, when he's performing the mitzvah of Yibum, will we say essay doicha leis essay. But when he's not performing the mitzvah of Yibum, when he's not performing that mitzvah, then the halacha will be that he may not marry, then he may not live with that woman. And because of that, Chazal said, we don't even allow any other bias. And therefore, says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hilchi, the Braisa teaches us, Im Kadma Ubala Bayu Rishoina, if the Kohen did have relations with her with the first Bia, which as we just said, given that there's a halacha of Essay Doicha Loisasei, that is a permissible Bia, the halacha is Kanoi. It is, the Torah recognizes that as a proper act of Bia. And since the Torah recognizes it as a proper act to be a day of husband and wife, and the only way to dissolve that marriage is with a get. However, Vasil Kaimon, he may not remain married to her with the Bia Shnia, because as we just finished explaining, that Bia he may not have with her, because she's a woman who is an Almana. We learned further in the Mishnah, Meis Le Meis, the Kohen Gadol loses a relative. The Mishnah described how the Levaya of such a relative is conducted. So says the Gemara, Remeis said that he should be careful not to be on the same street as the coffin. Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't leave the Beis HaMikdash. Tan Rabbanan, the Torah says, regarding a Kohen Gadol who loses a close relative, I'll call Nefesh Meis La Yavai, La'ava V'lima La Yitama, and HaMikdash La Yetzei. La Yetzei Manam, so the Remeis explains, what that means is, he's not allowed to join them in going to, he's not allowed to join the people who are going to the Levaya, he may follow them. What does that mean? They go out of one street and he goes into that street. Then he goes into that street. And when they go to the next street, he won't be on that street, not to come in proximity with the coffin. We learn further that the Kohen Gadol goes at Pesach Shari Ir, that he goes to the city's gate. Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't leave the Beis HaMikdash, because the Pasuk says, "In Menam Mikdash Lo Yetzei," says Rabbi Yehuda. So ask the Gemara, Shapar Kam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is making a very good point. The Pasuk says, "In Menam Mikdash Lo Yetzei," answers the Gemara, "Amale Ramei Yehachi." If we're going to explain that Pasuk literally, Yehachi, LeBeis HaNamiloi, so that means he should never even go home. Ella, what? How do I explain that pasuk? Hakama, Menam Mikdash La Yetzei doesn't speak about leaving the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, the Kohen Gadol may leave the Beis HaMikdash. What it means is Mekedushasai La Yetzei. He has to always make sure that his kedusha is not profaned. The Kivin Deslei Akeira, and once he's not coming in proximity to the Nifter, so that La Yeslaminga, we know he won't come too close. He won't touch. He won't be within Dalet Amos, and that's good enough. Rabbi Yehuda, so now that everybody agrees that the pshat in the pasuk is that Menam Mikdash La Yetzei, that he's not allowed to leave his Kedusha, so why may he not go out to the Levaya? So Rabbi Yehuda, why may, even if he's not going to be on the same street? Aga Merure says, because he's in such a situation where he lost his close relative and he's depressed, we are concerned, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Dilma Mikri Vasvanaga, he may come to touch. So in other words, explain the Rishonim. The Ran says this. Rabbi Yehuda's limud is no longer based on Menam Mikdash La Yetzei. Because the way the Gemara is learning now, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the definition of Menam Mikdash La Yetzei is Mekedushasai La Yetzei. He may not profane his Kedusha. And the reason he may not attend the Levaya in any way, because we're afraid he's going to get too close. And when Rabbi Yehuda said that Pshat in the Pasuk is Mekedushasai Menam Mikdash La Yetzei, that wasn't to be taken literally, it was just an Asmachta. We learned in the Mishnah, when the Kohen Gadol Rachman Tzlon Shemenachem, when he is being Menachem other people, so normally, the Mishnah says, everybody walks one after the other, but the Mamunah separates the Kohen Gadol from everyone else. And the Brisa elaborates. Tanabana Kshu Oiver Beshura Lenachem Sacherim, when the Kohen Gadol is walking by in the row to console people who lost relatives, Skan Umeshuach Shavar. The Skan is the assistant Kohen Gadol. Umeshuach Shavar is somebody who was once who was the Kohen Gadol, but he was removed, and now the Kohen Gadol, and he still has a certain vestige of Kedusha, because he was Kohen Gadol, B'yaminoi, stand to his right, V'roish Beis Av, V'aveilim V'chola Am Smoilin, the Roish Beis Av, that means we know that the Kohanim were divided into Mishmairis, 24 Mishmairis, and every week there was a different Mishmar, and the Rosh Beis Av, every Mishmar was divided into Beis Av, every day a different family of that Mishmar did the Avodah, and every family had the Rosh Beis Av, the head of that family who was doing the avodah that day, Vavelim, and the Avelim v'chol am smoyle. Shuaim b'shura, when he is getting nichum avelim, u'masnachem me'acherim, asgan b'yiminoi, the scan stands to his left, v'rosh beis av v'chol am smoyle, the rosh beis av and everybody else stand to his left. Says the Gemara, what about the Meshuach Shavar? That Meshuach Shavar, lo yosagabei, that when the Kohen is in a status that he is an Ovar Rachman Shlon, we don't put the Meshuach Shavar next to him. My Tama, what's the reason? So the explanation is, as we said, a Meshuach Shavar is somebody who was once Kohen, Gadol, and he replaced him. So obviously there's a complicated relationship between the Kohen Gadol and this individual. So we don't want to have, when this Kohen Gadol is in a bad place, because he's Nebuchadnezzar Ovel, we don't want to have next to him somebody who he has a weak relationship with. Chol Shadatim, because it's going to cause him to become even more depressed. Savar, he's going to think, Kachadabi, this person who doesn't like me is happy. Which opens up a question that the Paiskim discuss about three Shilas. If there are people who didn't get along, may the person who didn't get, and then one of those two people passed away, may the person with whom he didn't get along attend the Levaya. So that the Paiskim all agree that he may attend the Levaya. It's probably commendable that he should attend the Levaya and ask Mechila. May two people who don't get along, may one be Menachem Ovel the other. And the same question comes up regarding Bikachoylem. May somebody who doesn't get along with someone else, should he go visit him when that person he's not getting along with is not well? Because, as the Gemara just said, an argument can be made that the person who's sick, Nebuch, the person who's sitting Shiva, will say, you're coming and you're watching and you're satisfied to see me in this bad place. On the other hand, it shows that he cares, and it maybe could create shalom. It can maybe create peace between the two people. And the way I understand from the Paiskim's approach to this question, that there's no really hard and fast rule. Rather, every situation has to be judged. If this could be used as an opportunity to create shalom, to create peace between the people, so then that's what should be done. If, however, it will be misinterpreted, then he should stay away. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Shema Mina Mahamas Nisa, from this Braisa we can learn the last three halachas. Shema Mina, we learn from this Braisa that the Braisa said that the Skan stands to his right. And the Mishnah, it says that the Mamuna stands between him and everybody else. So here we see that the Skan and the Mamuna, Echerheim, are really, Skan and Mamuna, Skan and Skan and Mamuna are really one and the same person. Shema Mina Avelim Oimdim, the Avelim when there's a Shura, so the Avelim stand, V'chola Oim Avram, everybody passes by them. Shema Mina Avelim L'smol HaMenachemim Hein Oimdim, under normal circumstances, the Avelim stand to the left of the people who are being Menachem them. Tana Abonin, B'shonim Haya Avelim Oimdim, originally the minig was that the Avelim stood, V'chola Am Oivrim, and everybody passed by them and said Hamokim. But then a competition was created between two families that Zois Emeres Ani Averes Tchila, I should go first. The Zois Emeres Ani Averes Tchila and the other family said we should go first. And because of that, and to avoid that, Hiskinu Sheyam Oimdim, that the people stand and it's the Avelim that passed between the people who are Menachem them. Chazav HaHalach Sipur Simon. Rabbi Yossi turned things back to the original minig. Shayavelim I'm the davelim stand put for chol I'm ivrim, and everybody passes in front of davelim. Vam Rabbi Ba Abba, Hiskar Rabbi Yossi b'tzipori shloi teisha malachas b'shuk. A woman should now be walking in the street. Ubenah achreha, her son should not be walking behind her. Her son should be walking in front of her. And the reason he did this is because Ma'aseh Shehayah. There was once a situation where a child was walking behind a mother, and the mother was not able to pay attention to what's doing behind her. And there were people that kidnapped that child, and the mother went looking for that child. And when she was looking, somebody came over to her and said, I'll show you where the child is being hidden. And at that point, he violated her. So like that, they made a rule that the children should always go before the mothers, and they'll be able to keep an eye on the children. Vamar Rami Bar Abba Hiskar Rabbi Yosef Bar Tzipura Shiyanoshim Mesaprim Mesapris Besakisei. Women should speak to each other when they were in the bathroom. The bathrooms were not in the home, because Mishim Yichud, the Besakisei was outside the city, and everybody went there. And we're concerned that if the women aren't speaking to each other, some man may see that the woman is there alone and come to be there alone with her. By making that the women always go to get, this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that the women always go to the bathroom in pairs. And the way to make sure that everybody knows that there are two people sitting there is that the women continue speaking to each other. That will create that nobody will come to do yichud with either of these women. Amar Rav Nashi Ba'un, Shelis Rav Oishia Rabba. I asked Rav Oishia, Bebeis Olam de Hutzel, in the cemetery of Hutzel, Vamali, Ain't Shura Pachusim Seir B'nei Adam. When we talk about the Shura by the Nichum Avelim after the Levaya, we should have a minion. Vein Avelim and a minion, and the Avelim are not counted towards the minion. Bein, and this halacha is, that, and then he continued telling him, as we discussed, how actually is the shur done. So he said, "Bein shavelim oindem v'chol am oivrim." It doesn't make a difference if the avelim stand and everybody passes in front of them, or avelim oindem if the avelim walk by v'chol am oindem. The shura could be done in either fashion. We learned in the Mishnah when the kohen gadol is consoled. Because he lost a close relative, they say Anu Kaparascha, and he says to them Tzbaruchu Mishamayim Ibayluhu. Ask the Gemara Kimnachem Huachrini. When the Kohen Gadol is Menachem other individuals, Heche Amaluhu, what does he say to them? Toshma, says the Gemara. The Brisa says Vu Oymetes Nachmu. Ask the Gemara Heche Dami. Exactly what is the case of that Brisa? Ilem Kimnachem Achrinim the day that other people are being menachem him because he lost a relative. So he's telling them that you should have a nechama. Is he wishing them bad and saying that you will lose close relatives, that you need to have a nechama? Ella, what it means is, when he goes to console people who lost a relative or sitting shiva, he says to such individuals, Omlem, to Nachmu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should help, that you should find Nechama, and you should be able to move on in life. Shema Minah, that's when the word to Nachmu is used. We learned in the Mishnah, Hamelech Loidon V'Loidon Arisai, he can't be a judge, nor be a litigant. Loimeid, he can't be an aid, V'Loimeid Arisai, people don't say this about him. To which comments the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Loishan Al-Malchi Yisrael, this halacha is only by Malchi Yisrael. Ava Malchi Beis David, when we speak about Malchi Beis David, that the halacha is, then the halacha is done for done, I say. That we do, they are part of the Beis Din, and he could be part of the Beis Din, and he could be subject to the entire Diksiv. The Pasuk says in Yimriya, Beis David, Kai Am Hashem, Dinai, Lembaika Mishpat, they're part of the Torah, because it explains the Gemara. Because Eli Daninale, if they can't be subject of the Torah, then Inu Hechidaini. As we discussed in our previous year, these two halachas travel together. And you could only be a Dayan if you could be a subject to a Din Torah. Because as the Pasuk says, Heskaisishu V'kaisishu. V'amrei Shlokish, Shait Atzmecha V'akak Shait Acherim. If you are subject to Din Torah, then if you could be subject to Din Torah, you could be a Dayan. Otherwise, it doesn't go together. The Kedushas Yontif says that every time we daven, we say, Hishem Ekra Havagodl Lakenu. What we're saying with that is, by us connecting ourselves, Kishem Hashem Akra, if I call out to Hashem, then Havagodl Lakenu. As much as we connect ourselves to Hashem, Kshayt Atzmacha, as much as we connect ourselves to Hashem, that much will HaKadosh Baruch Hu connect himself to us. Ella, Malchi Yisrael, my Tamaloi. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, why are the Malchi Beis Yisrael not? The Rambam, however, says that even though we're learning that the Melchi Beis David can be part of the entire process, they can't be in the Sanhedrin. There's a special halacha that melachim, the kings, cannot be part of the Sanhedrin. But Malchi Yisrael, we're learning, can't be part of any Din Torah. Why not? Says the Gemara, Mishum Maisi Shaya, there was an episode that caused this rule. Says the Gemara, the Abdi the Yanai Malka Kotel Nafsha, the servant of Yanai killed somebody. Amul Shimon ben Shatuch lechachamim. So Shimon ben Shatuch said to Sanhedrin, Tenu einechem boi v'nedenu. We shouldn't play any favorites. And we have to call Yanai and judge him. Sholchalei Avdecha Ketol Nafsha. They sent him a message. Your servant killed somebody. Shadrulahu. So he sent the Eved, that the Eved should stand trial. Sholchalei. They sent him back. Ta'at Nami Lahacha. You have to be here as well. Because as the Pasuk says, V'mshad Nagachu Mitmil Shol Shoyim. For who at the Balof? Amr Torah, the Torah teaches us, Yavabal Shavi Yavad Al Shari, that if somebody's animal killed somebody, the owner of the animal has to attend the Din Torah. And so too, if somebody's ever Kanani killed somebody, he has to attend the Din Torah. So says the Gemara, so Yana came, Asav Yosef, he came and he sat himself down in Bezdin. Amle Shimon ben Shatach, to which Shimon ben Shatach said to him, and Shimon ben Shatach, the Mefarshim point out, was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. So he said to them, Yanei HaMelech, Amoyd HaRaglecha. Yanei, stand up, V'yidubach. And no, Kilo lefneinu ata'imid. We're not demanding that you show us this respect to stand. Elo fnei ha'olam ata'imid. When you're standing in Bezdin, you're standing in the presence of Hashem. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "V'amdu shnei anashim she'lahem mariv." Amalai, loy she'ata oimer, loy she'toyme ata. I don't want just to hear you say what you're saying, and that's because you're going to say it. That's why I should have to listen. And some say that the pshat is that Shimon ben Shatach was a brother-in-law of Yanei HaMelech, and he was saying that you can't be part of this Din Torah because we're relatives. So if you're not part of this Din Torah, it's not in your place to tell me sit or stand. Ella, k'may she'amru chavrecha. What will your colleagues say? Nifnali minoi, he turned to the right, and kafshu p'nei b'karka, they were ashamed to say anything, those members. Nifnali smiley, he looked to the left, and kafshu p'nei b'karka, they were ashamed to say anything. Amalem Shim ben Shatach, Balim Machshavas Atem. You're thinking, you're scared. You have a Balim Machshavas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everybody's thoughts. And the way the Mashiach explains the Gemara, when Yanai turned to them, they made like they're deep in thought about something else. And that's why they don't hear the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yava Bal Machshavas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows really the truth, V'yifrimikem. Miyad, Bo Gavriel V'choft B'karko V'meisu. Right away, Gavriel killed them all. Because what happened was, they didn't have the strength, the courage to say that Yanai HaMelech should indeed stand. So they were punished that they were put to the ground. So, but because of this terrible story, they instituted the Melech Leidon V'Leidon Naisai, LeMeid V'LeMeid Naisai. The Rishonim discuss that what is the halacha about standing by a din Torah. So Tosfos says that by din and nefashis, the person who's being judged has to be standing there in time, that the dayanim sit, and the person who's being judged stands when edus is said about him and when the judges are passing about him. The Ran says that the only time they have to stand is by the time of Gemar Din. The Paiskim, the Rishonim also say that if two people are standing by a Din Torah, are attending a Din Torah, and it's a Din Torah between two parties, and they're both willing to stand, then they could both stand. Furthermore, the Daki Moshe says that the halacha is only if they're standing must they remain standing. But if they're sitting, they don't have to get up. Here we learned about a din Torah of the Eved of the Melech. The Ben Yisachar explains that the pasuk we say Tfil Rosh Hashanah, Im Kavonim, V'im Kavodim, Einenu L'chot Tluyos. What does it mean, Einenu L'chot Tluyos? We just learned that they made a rule that if an Eved needs to be, if an Eved of a Melech gets judged, he won't have a Din Torah, because we don't want to make that the Melech should come to the Din Torah. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Kavodim, if we are your Avodim, Einenu L'chot Tluyos, we're relying that your Melech Leidon V'Leidon Naisai. So if they're not going to judge you, they won't judge us. They won't judge us either. Says the Gemara, Leichaltz V'Leichaltz, the king doesn't do Chalitza, nor is his wife subject to Chalitza. Eini, says the Gemara, V'Amar of Ashi, Afil Amad Amar, Nasi Shemachal Kvayde Kvayde Machal. Rabbi Huda disagreed. Rabbi Huda said he can do chalitza if he wants to. Asked the Gemara, how could Rabbi Huda suggest such a halacha? V'ani v'amar Rav Ashi, I feel a man d'amar melech shemachal kvaydai. Nasi shemachal kvaydai kvaydai mochal. According to the opinion that a nasi could be meichel on his kavid, melech shemachal kvaydai ain't kvaydai mochal. A melech cannot give up on his covet. So how could the king be agreeable to do chalitza? Answers the Gemara, mitzvi shani. There's a difference when there's a mitzvah. When there's a question of a mitzvah, it refers to kvod shemayim, and since it's referring to kvod shemayim, he's allowed to do whatever it takes to protect the kvod shemayim. Our Gemara taught us that Melech Shemachal Kvaydei Mochel. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Olamim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malchei Olamim, how would Tshuva be applicable? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be Mochel on his covet. So the answer is that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to be identified as the relationship specifically of a melech. It should be the relationship of a husband and a wife, or children and a parent. And therefore, in such a case, the halacha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no problem with melech shemachal kvaydai. I saw that many mefarshim explain why not. The pasuk says, the Gemara says, "Soim tasim lecha melech shtei masim lecha." Why does that prove that the king can't give up on his covet? So Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanson in his sefer Divrei Shaul explains that what does "Soim tasim lecha melech" mean? What "Soim tasim lecha melech" means that simos harbe, every moment that we have a new obligation to make the king a melech. So even if the king is meichel his kavod, then the next moment is he becomes again king. So it becomes a never-ending story. Another pshat that I saw from the Chassam Sofer is, what does Soim Tasam Alecha Melech mean to teach us? Soim Tasam Alecha Melech comes to teach us that Soim Tasam, we have to have this all of the time in our heart. All of the time we have to make that the Melech should be a Melech. There's never a moment that we can't have that in mind. Since there's never a moment that we could ignore or stop thinking about that, that's why the halacha is that Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi and Kvoidoi Machal. The Taldus Yaakov explains that what we're trying to teach us is that a Melech Yisrael, even though he has such tremendous power, is not supposed to abuse his power. And that's why a king is supposed to act in a humble and a modest fashion. So if we're going to have a king that's always acting in such a fashion, there now becomes a concern that people won't show the proper respect to the king. In order to avoid that that should happen, that's why the Torah says, Melech Shemach, that's what Halacha teaches us, Melech Shemachal Al Kvoidoi Ein Kvoidoi Machal. The king can never give up on his covet. The Pasuk says, V'yakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nai Yisrael. And Rashi says, when the Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all of Klal Yisrael, Yom HaKippurim. So the Rabbi Yehuda Osset explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was, when he gathered all of Klal Yisrael, didn't do it himself. He had a shliach do it. And the question is why? So says the Gemara, because, says the Pasuk, it happened the day after Yom Kippur. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meichel Daveris of Klal Yisrael were not yet in a position, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not yet in a position of being Melech. But Machos Yom Kippurim, where they had Mechilas Avinus, so now that they had Mechilas Avinus, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melech, Melech Shemochel Al Kvoidoi, and Kvoidoi Machel. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was waited, couldn't do it himself. He had to ask somebody else to gather everybody. As we said before, the Bnei Yisachar explains that the reason there is no problem with tshuva when towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Meichel Averis, even though it's a violation of Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi, Kvoidoi Machel, because we are the children of Hashem. And since we are the children of Hashem, a father could be Meichel his kavod to his children. And he explains, where do we see this concept? We see this concept, the halacha is, goy sheshavas, if a non-Jew attempts to keep Shabbos, chayv misa. Whereas Klal Yisrael, of course, have to keep Shabbos. What's pshat? He says, Shabbos, Chazal calls Shabbos, the Shabbitoi Shamelach, the stick of the king. So children are allowed to use the Shabbitoi Shamelach. People who aren't children of the king, of course, may not. So says the Bnei Yisachar. So Klal Yisrael, who are the children of Hashem, may use the Shabbitoi Shamelach and keep Shabbos. Nochri, who aren't the children of Hashem, may not keep Shabbos. So he goes on to say, that's why we're always careful to, the minig is that by Ashkenazim is that we always begin Slichas Matzoi Shabbos. Why do we begin Slichas Matzoi Shabbos? Because Slichas represent that we're asking the Melech Malchim Elohim for Slicha, for Mechila. And if there's an issue, as we've been learning, of Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi and Kvoidoi Machal, how can we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mechila V'Slicha? It must be only because we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. How is that shown and seen? Because we are allowed to keep Shabbos, which is the Shabbitoi Shamelech. So that's why when we come to ask Mechila V'Slicha, we ask it immediately after Shabbos, because we say that is the proof that we are your children, and therefore there's no problem with you being Meichelos. We learned in the Mishnah of Ein Noisen, we're not allowed to marry the Almona of a king. No one's allowed to marry the Almona of a king. Rabbi Yehuda says, Noisi Melech Amonasi Shemelech. One king can marry the Amon of another king. That we find that David HaMelech married the Amona of Shaul, says the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, V'etn l'cho espes adonecho v'sinshe adonecho be'chaykecho. Tanya, says the Gemara, Amalei of Yehuda, says the Gemara, the Pasuk doesn't mean that he married Shaul's wife. It means, l'noshim haruyos lo mebeis HaMelech. He married women who were from the family of Shaul, or my Ninu, who were they? Meir of Amichal, the daughters of Shaul. The Pasuk tells us that Klai Yisrael was in a battle, Plishtim with Goliath HaPlishti, who was cursing Klai Yisrael and speaking in such a fashion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shaul HaMelech made an announcement. The person who will be able to eliminate Goliath, Yasrenu HaMelech Oysha God, the king will give him a lot of fortune, and he'll give him his daughter as a wife. And David HaMelech was the one that did so. Shaul said that he's going to give David HaMelech his daughter Merav. But then Shaul ultimately gave Merav to Adriel HaMecholti. After which, Shaul agreed to give David his daughter Michal. And for that, David, if David would bring him 100 arlos, the foreskin of Plishtim. Not only did David Melech bring 100, he brought actually 200. And he wanted to, and Michal was given as his wife. Shaul ended up wanting to kill David, and David was able to escape. And at that point, when David Melech escaped, Shaul gave Michal to a wife, to Palti Ben Lish. When Shaul ultimately died, Avner made Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, king. And then Avner and Ishbosheth had a falling out. And then at that point, Ishbosheth gave Michal to David, because David said, she is my wife. And Ishbosheth and Avner actually delivered her to David. And the Gemara speaks about this whole episode. It says the Gemara, Shal Talmidav Esreb Yosef. Heich Nasa David Shteich Yisbechiyayim. The Pasuk says that David HaMelech married both Merav and Michal. How is that possible? Omlem, to which he responded, Michal Achameses Merav Nasa. David HaMelech only married Michal after Merav passed away. Shema Kaychema, Kedushay Tars Hayaloi B'Merav. He never really married Merav. Shenamar, the Pasuk says that David says to Ishbosheth, Tanois Ishtes Michal Asherasti Libameya Arolis Plishtim, give me Michal. To which the Gemara explains, what does that Pasuk mean to say? My Talmuda Omra Papa, David HaMelech proclaimed that David HaMelech proclaimed, Meichel Ishti, Meichel is my wife, V'loi Merav Ishti. But Merav is not my wife. My Kedushatos. Why was the Kedushin with Merav a Kedushatos? The Ksiv, the Pasuk said, as we said, that David HaMelech said, V'hoya Ish Ashiyakeno, the person who will be able to eliminate Goliath, Yashrena Melech Oisha Godel. The king will give him a fortune, will give him much money. Ozvakatli, so David eliminated Goliath. Omle, so now Shaul says to David, Melveskabe. So when David HaMelech wanted to do Kedushin with this older daughter, with Merav, he said, you owe me money, and that will be the Kedushin with which we could do the Kedushin. To which it was said, no. Magdash Milva and Mkadoshis. When you do a Kedushin, you have to give the actual money. You can't use a loan to do a Kedushin. So because of that, the Kedushin wasn't a valid Kedushin. And also, Yavel Adriel. So Shaul gave Merav to Adriel. The Ksiv, Ibe Teis Merav Shaul David, Vihin Nitna Adriel. Amalei, So he said, so at that point, Shaul said, Meirav is not available. She's married to someone else already. But Shaul says to David, if you want to marry my second daughter, Meichel, Zil Esli Meir Olus Pelishtim, bring me 100 foreskins of the Pelishtim, and that will be the way you'll be able to have Kedushin. Azul Isolay, and actually, as we said, he brought more. Amalei, so at that point, they had a halachic dispute. Milva Pruta Islach Gabei. On one hand, there was a money that Shaul owed David, and there was also these arolas, which are not very valuable, but they are worth a pruta. And they now had a halachic dispute. Shaul's opinion was that milva upruta, when we have a kedushin being done with a combination of money that's owed and a pruta, data milva. What they're really assuming is the kedushin is the milva. And as we just said, hamikadosh milva ena mikudeshes. And that's why Shaul's opinion was that David did not have a valid kedushin with Meichel. On the other hand, David sover melva pruta, when we have a combination of milva, even though it's a lot of money, but it's not available at hand, and there's a pruta, date a pruta. And therefore, there is here a valid kedushin. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining their dispute, David and Shaul's dispute, is the Kulama, everybody agrees, milva upruta, date a pruta, that they have in mind the pruta. However, Shaul suffer that these arolas are lechazav lemidi, are useless. And since they're useless, it's not even a pruta. For David suffer, David, on the other hand, says that the chazal kalvi v'shunri, they can be used to give to the animals. And therefore, since they can be used for animal food, they do have some value. Says the Gemara, Reb Yossi, who holds that both Meirav and Meichel were David HaMelech's wives, in David HaMelech's opinion. How does he explain the pasuk that says, Tanas Ishtias Meichel, which seems to indicate that only Meichel was his wife, not Meirav, my Dorish Bey? Answers the Gemara, Reb Yossi L'Tamei. The Tanya, Reb Yosef Yedorish Mikros Murovim, the psukim that are not clear. Ksiv, the pasuk says, V'yikach HaMelech HaShnei B'nitz B'nei Ritz B'bas Aya, Ashiyodu L'shol Es Armoini V'as Mifiboshes, V'as Chamishes B'nei Meichel, Ashiyodu L'Adrei HaMecholti. So the pasuk says that Meichel was Adreel's wife. Says the Gemara, V'chila Adreel Nitra, it was she Adreel's wife. V'lo L'palti B'lish Nitna, the pasuk said that she was married to Palti Belish. The ksiv v'shol nosan as Michal Bitoi lePalti Belish. Ella makish kedusha meiriv laAdriei leKedusha Meichel lePalti. The pasuk means to connect, to compare these two types of kedushin. Ma kedusha Meichel lePalti baAvera. Everybody agrees that was not a proper kedushin because she was really David HaMelech's wife. Similarly, Kedusha Meir Ladriel, according to Rabbi Yossi, was Be'avera because she was really David's wife. Rav Shulman Karcha, that says that Meiriv wasn't David's wife, Haksivas Chamishis B'nei Mechel Bashol, Ashiyodu Ladriel. So isn't that a proof that, to Rabbi Yossi's opinion? Amlach Rabbi Yeshua, so Yeshua says there's a much more fundamental issue with that pasuk. And the fundamental issue with that pasuk is, V'chim Michal Yolda, were these children of Michal? V'lai Meirav Yolda, Meirav was married to Adriel, so they were Meirav's children. Meirav Yolda, but rather, says the Gemara, what happened was, Meirav Yolda, it was Meirav who was the natural mother of these children, U'Michal Gidla, but Michal was the one that raised them. And says the pasuk, Lefikach Nikra Al Shema, they consider as if they're Michal's children, because the Gemara is teaching us now that Kol HaMegal Yosam Toich Beisoy, and anybody who raises a Yosam, Ma'al Lava Kosov Kila Yaldai, the Torah gives you credit that he is a child. And based on this, that's why the Pasuk says that the halacha is if somebody unfortunately is unable to have children, a very strong piece of advice that the Pesach can give is that they should adapt. And there's a very interesting question that the Pesach can discuss. We're just going to mention it briefly. Is when somebody raises a yosem, is there a point that to tell them that he's an adapt? Somebody adapts a child. Should they tell the child that he's adapted? And is there a point for this adopted child to go look for his real parents? On one hand, there is a point to go look for the real. There is a point to tell him for sure, because otherwise he may not know and he may end up marrying people who are his relatives. On the other hand, telling them who his parents are, obviously he's going to be very upset. In the most cases, he's going to be upset with his parents, how they gave him away. So maybe telling them will cause that he will not, telling him will cause that he won't be able to perform the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim properly. And as long as he doesn't know, so then he has no obligation to do kibud av v'aim with these individuals. But once he knows, he has an obligation to do kibud av v'aim. So maybe it's better not to tell him. It seems that it's certainly preferable to tell him that he is adopted, but it may not necessarily be the right thing to tell him who the parents are, that he should specifically have to know who the parents are. The halacha is that an adopted child, some Pesachim suggest, could sit Shiva on his adopted parents, say Kaddish on his adopted parents. However, the Chasam Sofer says that if there are chiyuvim in the shul, if in the shul there are more than one person who is supposed to say, wants to daven, and there's one who's an adopted child and one who's a natural child, obviously the child who is a real child has kedima, has precedent over the one who's an adopted child. The question also comes up regarding writing the person's name in a get or writing or calling him up to the Sefer Torah. And the Chasam Sofer says that in a get, we were so sensitive to the names in a get, we should write the name of the natural father of the adopted child. Because otherwise, there could be real difficulties and misinterpretation. There could be misinterpretation. And therefore, the halacha is that we should mention the real name and not have any issue. Chanina kara yoichan avishta alaza ugula v'shmua b'lamudei simen. Chanina ama mahacha. Here we learn what it means that to raise somebody else's child. Because the pasuk says, v'tkena l'shechen ha'shem lema yulud belanami. When Rus had the child from Boaz, they said that Naomi had a son. Asked him, "Avichi Naomi Yolda, v'le Rus Yolda." Elo, says the Rus Yolda. Rus was the mother of Naomi Gidla, and Naomi raised him. And l'fikach nikra shema. Rabbi Yochanan Mehacha, the pasuk says, "Vishta Yehudas Yoldas Yelad Avigdor, v'le b'nei Basya bes Paroy eshalokach Mered, or Mered zekolev." So l'ama nikra shema Mered. Why is he called Mered? Shemarad batzas meraglim. He went against the meraglim. So the question is, v'chibisya yolda, was Basya the mother of Maisha, v'lo yecheved yolda? Elo yecheved yolda. Yecheved was the one that was his natural mother. Basya gidla, Basya raised him. L'fikach nikras al shema. V'lezo mehocha, v'galta b'zareacha b'nei Yaakov v'yosef selah. V'chi Yosef yolad, Yosef wasn't the father of the Shvatim. V'lo Yaakov yolad, Yaakov was the father of the Shvatim. Elo Yaakov yolad, Yaakov was the father of Yosef Kilkel, and Yosef supported them. L'fikach nikra al shemay. Amar Hashmu ban Nachmeni, Amar Yonison. Kol malamnis ben chaveri Torah. If somebody teaches another person's child Torah, mal olav akasuk kil yodah, he gets credit as if he was his father. Shnam ve'elu talus Aaron v'Moshe. V'ksiv, but the pasuk says ve'elu shemayis b'nei Aaron. Loi malach, the teacher Aaron yolad. Aaron was the natural father of his children. U'Moshe limed. And Moshe taught him Torah, l'fikach nikra shmai, he gets the credit. L'chein oma Hashem, el b'es Yaakov v'shepadas Avram, that it says Yaakov redeemed Avram. Asked the Gemara, "V'chi'echem mitzina b'Yakov shepadla Avram? Where do we find that Yaakov Avinu redeemed Avram Avinu?" Amar of Yehuda, what it means is shepadla mitzah gidl bottom. All of the tzaris that happened to Yaakov really should have happened to Avram, but Yaakov Avinu took that off Avram Avinu's plate. V'ayin d'ksiv, and that is pshat, says the Gemara, in what the pasuk says. Loy atayev v'shyakov. Yaakov will not be embarrassed from his father Yitzchak. He won't have to be embarrassed from his grandfather Avram, because he was the one that saved them all from the tzar gittel bottom. Ksiv, the pasuk says that. So here we're learning the importance of raising somebody else's children. The Kli Yoker says that after the Chet HaEgel, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish Aaron that all of his children should die. But what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He said that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered like their father, and therefore, by doing so, they didn't all die, because it was a gzera against Moshe Rabbeinu. It was exer against Aaron, and not against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says here, "Kol Melamed is Ben Chaver Torah Kol Kilo Yoldei." Says, so I saw that the Mefarshim explained this Gemara that Kol Megalos Benoit Ben Chaver Torah, that when somebody is teaching somebody's child Torah, and when somebody's teaching his own child Torah, that means he puts all of his effort to make sure that his son should be successful. And the Gemara is teaching us here is Kol Melamedes Ben Chaveiro Torah. If somebody is not just teaching his own child, but he's teaching somebody else's child, and he teaches that child as if he was his own child, you're supposed to take care of another person's child, and you're supposed to treat that other person's child, when you teach him Torah, as if he was your own child. If that is the attitude to how we teach other people children's Torah, with such love and such care, that's the way you could be a successful Rebbe.